T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
On a Friday the 13th, yes. Paul Weihander here. That's pretty much how the day's gone.
What do you mean? It's a good day.
On the other side of the desk, 6.345 feet away, socially distant, is Lindsey Brown.
I don't matter today, Paul. You know why?
Why don't you matter today? You're here.
Well,
you matter. You're present. You're in the flesh.
I shouldn't say that I don't matter, because I do. But it is not my day. It is yours. It is your day of birth today, Paul. So happy day of birth to you.
I was born on a Wednesday, and today is a Friday. I've had many birthdays on Friday the 13th. I've already cashed in on many of the free things that you can get.
This morning, even so.
On said birthday, yes, I'd like to thank the local entertainment establishments located to our east for providing me with some entertainment and a little extra scratch this morning.
Yeah, because you played the free play.
I did play some free play today.
Expanded your wealth.
And was able to take some of that wealth and drop it right back into some wagering action. So
this is a lucky day for you, my friend.
It's truly a lucky day. So happy to be here. Happy to be breathing. Another trip around the sun is complete. And we'll start it all over again here, like now. I think my mother told me once. Hi, Mom. My mother told me once, I was born in the afternoons, and I don't remember, to be honest.
Is this your birth certificate?
When's the last time you looked at your birth certificate?
I have
certificate?
It right over here, actually.
You're kidding.
No, I literally have it in a folder over here. Like, it's in like a sleeve protector. I think I was born at 8:02 p.m.
That is really precise.
I'll double check while you tell your story.
That is truly precise. No, I'm just saying, I think I was born in the afternoon, so I'm haven't quite completed the entire trip around the sun, but it will happen here in the next, I'm assuming, couple of hours.
What are you, 32, 31?
What, at 3:31?
No, I was just asking how many trips around the sun that you have made.
More than enough.
More than enough? Well, at 8:05 p.m. on March 19th, 1992, that is when I graced this earth and have graced the earth henceforth.
8 o'clock.
8:05. Always had a 5 at the end, Paul.
Right.
Who knew?
Why didn't you go with, like, 85 then?
I don't know. Well, you know what 8 minus 5 is? Look at that. We can always find our
way
back to home.
I'm just shocked that you have your birth certificate in your hand right now.
Well,
I don't know how many people could actually say that when they go to work.
Yeah.
And they go, hey, you know, I've got a birth certificate. Yeah, I've just got it right here. Just let me go grab it.
Well, you know me, Paul. I'm one of those people that can't keep track of a lot of things. So I just bring all of my things with me at all times. So it's always with us in case we need it.
You're
like this exact situation right now.
One giant Swiss Army knife.
Preparation. It's the 20 pounds a day, every day, for months, for years, finally paid off. This segment on your day of birth.
You're carrying way more than 20 pounds of stuff, though.
Yeah, well, that's just that type of baggage. You don't want to talk about the other stuff.
Right.
Right, because it is your day, the Friday
the
13th.
Were you a big baby? I was a big baby.
I was fat as hell. My entire family, we are all big babies. I think I was like 9 pounds, 11 ounces.
Damn, that was bigger than me.
Oh, yeah.
Way bigger than me.
And I was the first baby of like my generation of cousins and stuff. One of my cousins was 12 pounds, natural. Like, don't know how.
Damn.
When my grandma went in the hospital to have my mom and my aunt, she thought she was having one baby. You know how they found out? They put her in an x-ray machine and they were both 8 pounds.
Wow.
Twins. Twins, Basil. Twins.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's crazy.
All right. So thank you for all the birthday wishes. I do appreciate it. I keep getting texts.
We're happy you're here.
I may have to, you know, step away from the mic every once in a while to answer a few texts.
Mm-hmm.
But
the social life does call.
I do appreciate all the good wishes from everybody today. All right, let's get you the 5 biggest stories of the afternoon.
It's your daily checkdown.
powered by Radio.com Sports.
So it is Masters Friday, which is weird to say in November, but it is.
Yeah, they're celebrating your day of birth by playing the best golf tournament there is.
Right, exactly.
Exactly.
And it's another day and another day of early exits off the golf course because they have hit darkness officially about a half an hour ago. Everybody came off the course, but we do have quite the interesting leaderboard, so to speak. At the top of the board is a man by the name of Abraham Anser.
I love this name.
It's probably Anser, to be honest. He is from Mexico. It's
also probably alliterative across the board.
Double
so
A.
Here for it.
He is one of four at the top of this list, which includes world number one Dustin Johnson, who completed a round but struggled, shot 70. And if you think 70 is struggling, think about what he shot yesterday, 65.
Yeah.
Justin Thomas also topped the leaderboard, and Cameron Smith of New Zealand, who somehow managed to make it out of New Zealand, but is now atop the leaderboard at the Masters. And again, everybody came off the course. A lot of folks came off the course early. Tiger Woods struggling right now, but he is still at four under par, and he's still got another half of a round of golf to play. So he may play like 27 holes tomorrow.
I mean, what else is new for him? That's just kind of your run of the mill day at the office. But it's shaping up to be a really interesting weekend because you have the names like the Dustin Johnson, the Justin Thomas, Tiger. Like those names are there. Some names that we're unfamiliar with. It's a really good mix of old, current, and people that you've never heard of, I think, for the leaderboards, for those of us who really get into the weekend viewing.
The projected cut is now even par. Earlier today, it was minus one. So those who are battling it even right now, which includes Jordan Spieth.
Yes, right, exactly.
Who is still out on the course as well. He still might make the cut, but there's a lot of guys who are certainly struggling and a lot of names that are worthy of mentioning, like a Vijay Singh, for example, a Larry Mize. And so Gary Woodland, there are Bryson also may not make the cut. He is at plus one right now.
He is true boomer bust in success for majors. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it goes, especially since he's testing out drivers. I think he's been kind of back and forth all year. But even Phil. Phil's five under. You have Koepka there at five under. It's just a lot of really good golf being played, and it's an easy course. So we're going to see some magical shots today.
And we will talk about the majors as well and how they do set up. Tomorrow morning, 4:30, get your butts out of bed. If you want golf, you already do it for Premier League soccer. Might as well do it for the Masters as well.
Number two.
Herm's got the COVID, which means the Pac-12 is scrambling right now. They were already on a tight schedule. No one said about extending the season, but Arizona State and Cal will not be playing football. The Sun Devils do not have the minimum number of scholarship players available. You might remember they lost last week late to USC, which was trying to avoid that upset. So Herm Edwards has the COVID. The Pac-12 also having another game suspended, as well as we lose Cal, Arizona State, and we lose Utah and UCLA today as well. So what are they going to do? They're going to play on Sunday.
Who's they?
They would be UCLA and Cal, the two teams that do not.
Whose dance partners could not attend the dance any longer.
Something suddenly came up.
So 48 hours ahead, that's when they're finding out who their opponent is. And when was the last time we heard a story like this, Paul? I can't remember. So I think it's going to be an interesting challenge for both teams. And if anything, you know, you don't have a whole week to prepare for it, but it's just straight up. Who's got the better athletes? Who can call better plays? There's just missing research time, right?
Rose Bowl on Sunday morning. The Pac-12 will have a game, and it'll be at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. on a Sunday. So they get an extra day to do what they need to do.
Exactly. And you have to think the urgency of getting some of these, like this game specifically in, unlike the SEC, they haven't been playing the whole time. They're just getting their season started. So I'm sure a lot of these teams are like, well, we got to make sure we get some games in. We make it worth the while to put the program, you know, on the wheels to go this year. So good stuff.
And that one's going to be on FS1, so they're going to put it on TV. And what they had to do with, there's another game that involved UCLA. They were going to play Oregon on Friday night following, so like next Friday night.
Ooh.
They bumped that game now to Saturday to provide an extra day for UCLA just to get over some bumps and bruises or whatever. So ripple effects are happening. The Pac-12 doing something a little bit different, just finding new dance partners for everybody because of the COVID, and there's just not a lot of time to do things.
Number three.
Just our new choreography, Paul.
Yeah, well, that choreography could continue into the new year as the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlsby, says as a member of the College Football Playoff Operations Committee, they have started talking about perhaps delaying the College Football Playoff and the New Year's Six Bowls.
Say that's probably a good plan to move from plan B to plan A right now. And I mean, I've always kind of been questioning about the feasibility of College Football Playoff, but just based off of what we've seen, based off of how many teams are out right now, just in the last week.
Correct. The SEC practically has no games in action.
I mean, does the playoff want to happen without the SEC? Is it, do we still want to have the dance? Like, honestly. And so we got to do what we got to do. That's why we got to get everything back under control. Wear your mask. Stay away from people. Let's just do it. Let's just get it done.
They're talking about a lot of options. The first rankings for the CFP come out November 24th, so just 11 days away. Final rankings come out December 20th. But again, they're talking about perhaps postponing depending on how things go and how people control the COVID. But I'll be honest with you. As we've seen all these lockdowns go into place and these suggestions that people stay home, not just here in Nevada, but in other states like Oregon did its thing today.
Many places around this country.
They're talking about quarantines.
Yep.
You know, be thankful you've been able to attend some events and certain things and sit down and eat. Just don't, you know, don't ruin it for everybody else.
It's the holiday season, Paul. Shouldn't we all just be grateful to be here? Right? And so maybe we don't get this year finished and we get one. Some teams get seven games. Some teams get two, but we got to do what's right. We got to stop pushing off the inevitable at this point.
So College Football Playoff could be postponed. Imagine that. College football in March. Time for spring.
Number games. Four.
We have more glass breaking.
And it comes.
And it comes in the land of Major League Baseball, which,
Who knew?
Hey, they've been, as you like to say, malleable.
Yes.
Quite a bit. They've done quite a few things. You know, we've talked about the designated hitter in both leagues and playing in bubbles and World Series and things like that. They have made a big move today. At least
one of the biggest moves.
Miami Marlins have hired Kim Ng as their brand new general manager, the first female GM in a major professional sport in North America.
And What a week for the ladies, Paul, considering, you know, we had our first vice presidential elect last weekend with Kamala Harris and now with Kim Ng. I mean, this is huge. She's more than qualified, grossly overqualified, if anything. She's a true baseball lifer. She's been all over the place. The Yankees, I'm sure that's where her and Derek Jeter probably met up and worked together. The Dodgers, your squad, she's been in it and has been, you know, interviewing for these positions for a better part of over a decade. And so I'm really glad that she's finally getting the opportunity, specifically her, because she has earned it. But so have women everywhere to be considered. If you put in the work, if you show up every day, if you go through the grind, then you should be considered. And if you're the best qualified, and as I said, overqualified, then you should get the position. So I'm glad and surprised that it was Major League Baseball to do it first. And so thank you to Major League Baseball, to the Marlins specifically. They're now my third favorite team. I will 100% be buying some merch from this squad because this is very important. You know how important it was with the VP and what I talked about last week and what that means to all of us. So good for her. Best of luck. I'm sure she's going to kill it.
She moves from Major League Baseball vice president to the front office of the Miami Marlins, and the Marlins changed their Twitter picture to her face. So new face in place in Miami, Kim Ng.
Sign off on every decision that's made that has anything to do with the talent or with the baseball club goes through her.
Right. And fortunately, she doesn't have to deal with that ugly statue outside the baseball park.
True that.
At least
they
moved it out of the ballpark.
Yeah.
So
they got good unis, too.
They do have some nice uniforms.
Number five.
Okay, so are you a member of Dub Nation? If you aren't, they want to make sure that you become one, and maybe you can actually go see a game this year. They're calling it Operation Dub Nation, and they want 50% of Chase Center's arena to be filled in the upcoming season. How are they going to do it? They're going to spend $30 million to make sure that fans, players, and employees can get into the games, where there would be rapid testing for fans. At the arena to go inside, and they would have some sort of, I don't know what it would be, but it's this top-tier air filtration system during the games.
Well, it's a brand-new barn.
The Chase Center's fresh.
And we know that last year wasn't exactly the opening year that they probably had hoped for. And so the second season, and with the resurgence of the team with the return of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, this makes total sense. And the owner says he wants to make an example for other places to follow. Whether or not California will say, yes, you can absolutely do this,
sure,
that remains to be, you know, decided. But I think if somebody's going to do it, somebody has the money. You've seen how much their value has increased over the last decade. Like, they for sure have this cash. It's San Fran.
Yeah.
So if it works, that's great. It would be a huge step forward for the NBA, but all sports people and fans getting back in the building. But we shall see.
Sure. But it's a monster investment to make that happen. And we'll see if it can happen with the Warriors. They want people to come see Dub Nation. And they've declared themselves ready to roll. They just want a chance to prove the concept. Mm. So we'll see if that moves forward. All right. There's your check down. Your five biggest stories of the afternoon, powered by Radio.com Sports. Coming up next, we're going to talk some NFL football and some college football as well. Former NFL quarterback Steve Berline on the show.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Lots of fun things coming your way this weekend. We do have college football coming up for you. 1 o'clock on Saturday, it'll be Baylor and Texas Tech, a Big 12 matchup. We're assuming that one's still on.
Yes. Do not hold your breath.
Right. Hoping to hook up with Steve Berline here to get him to talk a little football with us as well. And then on Sunday, we do have Chargers football for you here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, which you can listen to on air on 1140 AM or also stream it through our website, CBSSportsRadio1140.com, as the Chargers take on Miami.
A showcase of rookie quarterbacks.
Yes, Tua and Justin Herbert will go at it. That is also a 105 game. All these 105 games on Sunday, by the way, again, you can hear that here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. All these 105 games on Sunday are not, it's not a fluke in the schedule. It's
on purpose.
It's on purpose. And you had to think about it to figure out exactly why this was actually going to happen.
Right. Because last week, Paul, it was weird because I was actually watching the Vikings play because they're showing some semblance of life, and they were playing the Detroit Lions, and they're an NFC team, as are the Lions, because they're the NFC North divisional foes. They usually play on Fox. Fox takes the NFC teams, and CBS usually takes the AFC. But last weekend, that game was on CBS. So naturally, I went searching for answers and went to the most, you know, special, the peer reviewed, the peer edited community of Twitter to ask the question: why are they playing on CBS, Paul? Why am I so confused about this? And somebody said it's a make good. And I found out what the make good was for literally today. Everything's coming full circle. It's because sure, the Masters are happening.
That's because we're playing on, yeah, because the Masters on a Sunday.
Yep. At this time of the year.
In November.
Yep.
So looking at how this works out, and it's strange, and there's a few facts to dig into this. It's the first time since 1998 CBS will not have an early game.
Right.
On Sunday.
Because they are going to be broadcasting the entirety of the Masters, so Fox has all of the afternoon games on Sunday.
That's
all
crazy.
All of them.
And there's no Jim Nance because he's at Augusta. So
and Tone Bone's taking the weekend off, too, because clearly he has dreams to be in this tournament someday. It will never happen.
Yeah.
But he's going to pretend and, you know, manifest his true destiny. So, yeah, it's a true weird and, like, singular example of this, because football's never been played during the Masters.
Yeah.
Ever.
There was this thought because this was supposed to be kind of like the super weekend, remember?
Yes.
Because there was all this SEC football that was going to happen.
Well, there was.
That all got canceled.
Yep.
And postponed.
And we probably thought that at least one or two of the sports leagues maybe would have started back up, but...
Right, yeah, this was going to be like that NBA, NHL, mm-hmm, and then the Masters was like the only thing that kind of got pushed
right
into this weekend.
It bumps right up against the election and everything, so we just saw the big bubble of that is the beginning of November.
Yeah, it was Alabama-LSU. That was the one. It was Everybody's like, Alabama-LSU. Now, LSU has obviously disappointed this season. But
tough to not, considering this last year. You can't write the book better.
Right, so Alabama-LSU was supposed to be tomorrow in primetime, and then it was going to be like Masters rolling through the week, and then when the NFL schedule came out, they were like, oh my goodness, we've got, you know, pretty solid matchups across the board in the NFL.
Before the season started, we learned some things, but there's still some pretty good ones.
Right, but it was going to be like one of those super weekends. Like, you had Seattle and Los Angeles. And yeah, Baltimore, New England would have been a little bit better, but you have, you know, a ton of games.
Right.
That,
you gotta think Saints 49ers was going to be one of the big games, considering what that NFC Championship turned into a couple of years ago. Same with Seahawks. Yeah, you have a lot of divisional, like, heavyweights going at it. And it still is a huge weekend. It just doesn't include a lot of college football, at least the names like Bama, LSU. And so the Masters are still going to be happening. You still got NFL football. But, you know, that's plenty to go around. We don't need to be greedy about it.
No, I'd like to be greedy.
Okay.
I would love to be greedy.
You want more college? I mean, we all want more college football, and we also don't want anybody to be sick.
No. They're spreading. You know what? The interesting part about college football and NFL football and the way they're spread, the way some of this is spread out, because remember when we first started the college football season, we only had like 12 games to begin. Like, it was like September 12th, there were like 10 or 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 19th, it was that same kind of thing. And then the 26th, kind of the floodgates opened up.
That's because, when, like, the Big Ten joined the
right,
stream.
We saw the return of Power Five conferences. It was like, okay, now we have games. And now with the Mountain West coming back, we now have games at night again. Like, games that actually, like, make sense at night.
Right.
Because they're on the West Coast. It's not like...
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not
it's
like
not
all
bottlenecking in the same 4.5 hour time period.
Yeah, you're looking at, hey, look, it's Texas State and Illinois State, and they're playing at 7 o'clock at
right.
night.
Fewer decisions.
Right, but it's a 9 o'clock kickoff there.
Sure.
Which is oddly strange. So if you're looking for, you know, football this weekend, it's going to be kind of sandwiched in between. The only other way this would have been crazy if there would have been, you know, one of the major tennis tournaments had been pushed.
Sure.
You know, to this point and, you know,
they had like Wimbledon this year.
Yeah. And see, yeah, exactly. And been that kind of a weekend, but, strange how it all works out, but we still get a little bit of everything, and it's good to be able to talk about golf.
It's better than where we were like 5 months ago and we had nothing.
Right.
That's the truth.
He's on the call of Saturday's Baylor Texas Tech game here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, and we're happy to have him part of the program. A former NFL quarterback and CBS Sports host, Steve Berline, joining us. Steve, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, I'm fired to be on with you guys.
Of course, Steve. We're happy to have you, and your game is still on, but we've seen quite a few cancellations or postponements, or we're just not really sure what we're going to be able to do. What is the likelihood in your mind that we finish out a college football season with at least 3 out of the 5 Power 5 conferences playing?
That's a great question. With the way they're dropping right now, it's hard to say anything with any real confidence, but, even with the challenges the SEC is facing, I believe that they're stubborn enough to want to try to see it through, and I believe that'll be the case. And I kind of get the same sentiment with the ACC, very wanting to try to push through as possible. The rest is kind of up for grabs. I would expect maybe the Big 12 to try to finish out whatever they can do as well. And the Big Ten and the Pac-10 are the two that have been kind of wavering from the beginning. So, I don't know how this thing all plays itself out, but it's definitely going to be, it already has been a year for the ages, but this will just be another story to tell down the road for sure.
Yeah, Steve, it seems like we are hell-bent to finish a college football season one way or another, and certainly with a college football playoff. One of the teams that got started early was BYU. They're undefeated, 8th ranked. You see their quarterback, Zach Wilson. Does he check off boxes to be an NFL quarterback? I mean, he's been interviewed, and he's talked about one of our stations, our station in Boston, talked about, you know, his prospects of maybe playing for the Patriots and things like that. But does he actually have the skill to play at that next level, or are we just seeing this anomaly in college football to where he just happens to be in a really good football team that's played kind of okay opponents?
Well, I'll be 100% honest, and that is, my focus, generally speaking, is on NFL. I do more NFL work than I do college work, but I am doing. I've had a relationship with Compass Media for the last year and this year, and I've been doing some more college games. I haven't had a chance to really study the BYU team really closely and to really look and see what their strengths and weaknesses are. But I do know that he's highly thought of. But the question is he going to be one of those, of which you can go down a list of many over the years, of those quarterbacks that have tremendous success in college that just don't quite have the physical skills to take it to the next level as far as, really making it in the NFL. You can think about guys like the Gino Torettas, the Tim Tebow's obviously is a more recent one that comes to mind. But there's a lot of other guys that never really found a way to make that transition from college to pro. Brady Quinn was another one, and Danny Werfel, guys like that had great college careers but never quite were able to put it together at the next level. So who knows? I think that what he's doing this year, from what I've been able to tell from the stats and the consistency he's been playing with, he's definitely getting looked at. He's going to be given an opportunity to show that he can play at the next level. But I really don't have an informed opinion as to areas that he really needs to work on and focus on or areas that are being questioned. So I would hesitate to make a comment on that.
And when it comes to moving up to that next level, because you can have all the talent in the world, but if you're not in an organization or if things just unfold really oddly, like you could just find yourself without of a job really quickly. And I think that's why we've seen so much success from young quarterbacks this year. It's been really surprising, at least to me. But the person that sticks out to me the most is Justin Herbert and what he's been able to do with the Chargers. So I wanted to ask you, because you have the trained eye, you were a quarterback. So what does Justin Herbert do for you that Joe Burrow doesn't, and vice versa? What's the difference between the two, and how do you compare both of those quarterbacks?
Well, you're talking about two guys right there that I have absolutely zero doubt about. They're both going to be great professional quarterbacks. Are they the exact same animal? No, they're both have different strengths and weaknesses. But the bottom line is that both of them have the ability to do all the things that are required at the NFL level, and to go along with it, they've got, great mobility. They're both tremendous athletes. And the other thing is that they both seem to relish the big moments. You know, when they get a chance to make a play when the game is on the line, they seem to be able to step up and rise to those challenges. You call them whatever you want to call them. I like to call them a gamer, but the bottom line is that both of those guys have the physical ability to play the position at this level. They've shown it already. They've already had tremendous success in terms of, what the early reviews are and their ability to make the transition to this level. Obviously, the Chargers have had a hard time finding ways to win the close games at the end. But you got to give Herbert credit because he keeps putting him in position to win those games. They just keep getting bad breaks and things that just don't work out in their favor to this point. And then Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals, all of a sudden are a team that people are taking seriously now, that they know that they can light up a scoreboard, and this guy's going to get it done. He's just getting started. So, you look at Tua Tagovailoa as well, coming out and playing as well as he has in the first two games. And then guys like Kyler Murray in his second year looking like he's already got it all figured out. So the state of affairs as far as the young quarterbacks in the NFL, I think, is very, very strong. And Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow are just two more guys that are going to really add to that legacy without a doubt.
I love that word, gamer. And Steve, unlike you, I didn't play quarterback, but I played goalie in hockey. So it's kind of like the quarterback, at least in that sport. Can you teach gamer ability? I'm a coach as well, so I just want to see where you fall in that opinion, because some people say you can, but I usually say, no, that's something that's inherent and has to be brought out from you.
No, yeah, I don't think you can teach that. That's something that it develops inside of you, or you're born with it, one of the two. It's not something that you can obviously coach a player to get better and to become a better technician at whatever his craft might be, his or her craft might be. But as far as the ability to stand up and make plays in the most crucial situations where a lot of people fold, that is not something you can coach. It comes from either experience and being in those positions up to where you have no doubt that you're going to step up and do it because you've done it so many times before, or you just come out of the womb thinking that you can't be stopped, and then you want to be that person in that situation. And, but it's got to be one of those two, I believe. I don't think it's something that you can actually coach. It's something that comes from within the individual.
NFL quarterback Steve Berline joining us here on the Playmakers. Paul Leihander and Lindsey Brown giving us some thoughts about the quarterbacking position, certainly in the NFL. He is on the call of tomorrow's game for Baylor and Texas Tech, which you can hear here on CBS Sports Radio at 1140. Let's talk about the team that drafted you initially when you came into the league, Steve, which is the Raiders. Did they pass the eye test for you at this point at 5-3? Do you see, Derek Carr finally emerging into the guy that we all know he was and he still believes he is, as someone who can take them to that next level this year?
Well, I've always been a fan of Derek Carr. I like the fact that he is one of the quarterbacks in the league that I think is very honest and is straightforward and accountable as to how he feels he's playing. He'll take blame in situations where he's responsible or the part of the reason why things haven't worked out the way they have. But he's always been a very positive, upbeat leader. And, he's at a point in his career now where he's finally getting a team built around him, having been through, a bunch of rebuilding years over the last 3 or 4 years, to now have a team that's on the up. On the upswing, it's fun to watch. And are the Raiders a legitimate playoff team at this point? I would say no, not in my opinion. But can they get to 9 wins? For sure. I think that's very possible. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to find a way to squeak in and get that last playoff spot with maybe a 9-7 or possibly a 10-6 record. They've already won a couple games this year that people didn't think they would win. They beat the Chiefs just a couple weeks ago, and they've had several big wins. And to be at 5-3 at the halfway point, I think it's not only waking up the rest of the NFL that these guys are becoming a real football team, but it's also building confidence in the locker room. If you've ever been at the highest level of any sport, the one factor that really helps get a team over the hump is when the team starts believing that they're pretty good. Instead of going out in the field and hoping to win a football game, they go out there expecting to win a ball game, and that makes a huge difference. And when you're talking about the fine line between winning and losing at the professional level in any sport, the team that believes they're going to win 8 or 9 times out of 10 is going to win that game.
And usually that belief, is spurned from the quarterback position, as we were talking about. Where does that gamer ability come from? It comes from experience. It comes from those guys being in the locker room saying, we gotta huddle around, and I'm going to show you exactly what I'm preaching right here and right now. And one of those players that has done that to the highest degree, and it is on a new team for the first time in his career, Philip Rivers, who secured another win last night over the Tennessee Titans for the Colts. I want to get your thoughts on him and that seamless transition that he's gone through this season, because the leadership and the passion for the game are well documented with him, but I don't think we expected this much success from him so early in his Colts tenure.
Well, I'll be the first to admit I'm extremely surprised. I've always been a huge Philip Rivers fan, but the way that he played over the last couple years with the Chargers, I really felt like his best days were behind him, and that he wasn't going to get another shot to be the man. And even if he did, I really did not think it would end well. And I apologize publicly right now to Philip for that. I think he knows all along I've been a huge fan of his. I just did not think he had a lot of gas left in the tank. I didn't think his arm was at the point where, because he's not a mobile guy, as we all know. We saw him try to make that tackle last week on the fumble return for a touchdown. He's not an overly athletic guy, let's just put it that way. But he makes up for a lot more with his head and his heart, as you said, and also just the fact that he's seen so many things, and he's still got that gunslinger mentality where he probably takes some chances he shouldn't take, especially because he can't make all the throws he used to make. But that's the attitude that the players respond to, and it's infectious. He's brought a swagger into that locker room, I think, and onto the field. and it's paying off for him right now, and I'm really happy to see it. Can he keep it going for the second half of the season? I don't know. We'll see. I would be surprised if he finishes the season playing as well as he is right now, but I wouldn't put anything past Phillip Rivers. He's proven that he can step up, and as we said before, we use that word gamer. He's proven himself to be one of those guys time and time again over the years.
Yeah, and the team around him is 100% bought in. It's easier to do that when you see some success early in your season. And one team that did not see that success early in their season is the Philadelphia Eagles. And so I'm going down that Carson Wentz road. For me, the big difference for him, I think, is the injuries at those big-time developmental windows when you're in your second, third year as a quarterback. How big of a puzzle is that offense for you? Or is it just that they had a bad start and now they have some bad karma and that they're just trying to dig their way out of the season?
Well, you can quote me right now on this one. The Philadelphia Eagles will win that division, and they'll get into the playoffs, and they'll be playing much better football at that point. I think they're going to have a pretty successful second half of the year. And the reason for that is, on top of a couple other things that I'll tell you, but is that Carson Wentz, I think, is starting to get his confidence back. He went through a lot of tough weeks the early part of the season and through what he went through last year. I really do believe that his confidence was maybe wavering a little bit, but you look at him now and you see the confidence building back up, and especially as he's starting to get more of his teammates back on the field. You're talking about an offense that has had, if you pile up the injuries that this team has had offensively, that he's had to deal with, the receivers that you couldn't even name that he's had to put out there on the field week in and week out, and having to adjust to these new guys left and right, running backs, tight ends. There's no team in the NFL that's been decimated by injuries more so than the Philadelphia Eagles. But I think he's weathered it. I really think I've always felt that he was going to be a very elite quarterback in this league. I still believe that, and time will be the best testimony or testament to that. But I believe that Carson Wentz is going to enjoy great success finishing out this year and in the years to come as the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Steve Berline with us here on the Playmakers, probably wishing he could have had to rush the field against Clemson last week as his Notre Dame Fighting Irish got the win. And they're at Boston College this week, but he is on the call of Baylor and Texas Tech tomorrow here on CBS Sports Radio 1140. Steve, thanks for hanging out with us today. You are welcome back anytime as a new close personal friend of the program.
I look forward to it. It's been a lot of fun. Take care.
Great to have you on, Steve.
Steve Berline, former NFL quarterback and Super Bowl champion, and great to have him part of the program and in the fold, and good to get his insight, especially in the quarterback position, which is so uniquely structured this year.
We tend to pay attention to said position.
For many teams when it comes to those who are just brand new to the NFL process and those who, again, who have been here a long time, surprised to see him take a couple mea culpas there. I mean, he was interestingly enough, as we talked about young quarterbacks, and you hit him up on Joe and Justin, and he was very critical of the Dolphins making the change between Tua and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That was one of the questions that I didn't get to get to with him, but I would suspect, considering his history through the league and just never being like the guy, but given a bunch of chances, like, it's a big time gamble to make that decision. So you better hope it pays off. But maybe Tua's that type of player.
Perhaps so. Hey, Steve Berline again joining us. Great to have him hang out with us this afternoon. Coming up next, a name that Vegas Golden Knights fans haven't heard in a while, and maybe it's his time to shine and take his place in the spotlight. We'll explain.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Thanks to Steve Berline for hanging out with us. You can revisit that interview through the radio.com app and the Rewind feature. Download it today from the Google Play Store or iTunes App Store. Search out CBS Sports Radio 1140 and hit the heart in the upper left-hand corner. Just a reminder, guests on the Playmakers, join us via the CBS Sports Radio 1140 phone line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
Call me, beat me if you want to reach me. Right. Call me maybe, Paul. No, call me maybe.
Oh my goodness.
Do you have like a favorite song that's about a phone? Kiss Me Through the Phone, Soulja Boy. Is that your jam? Nope. Okay, move on.
Phone.
All right. So you wanted to talk about hockey.
A favorite song about a phone.
Yeah, with a phone. Maybe it's Hello, Lionel. Hello. Maybe you're an Adele.
No.
Hell, no. That's a different
if
hello.
If you're going to pick a song, so we're not talking about hockey. If you're going to pick a song, literally, it's just straight up derailed this. If you're going to pick a song that you're going to actually talk about phones, my favorite song about phone.
Yeah.
Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters?
There you go. Come on, it's literally okay. About picking up the phone and making a phone call.
Fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Everybody knows it.
I mean, that comes up in the first three results in the Google search, so I appreciate you really reaching high for that selection.
But see, if you go old school, then Sir Mix-a-Lot had a song called Beepers, and that was a banger.
Oh, yeah.
Beepers, beepers, beepers.
Interesting.
My posse's on.
Well, I'm glad that you are a huge fan of the Ghostbusters and that we're discussing this on your day of birth.
Have you ever seen that entire video for Ghostbusters? Like, there's an actual music video with Ray Parker Jr.
I don't think I've seen the movie Ghostbusters in its entirety.
Really?
I really don't. I've seen
even
bits
the reboot.
Kind of like how you... Was it Sound of Music or Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, that you saw bits and pieces for years before watching it in its entirety, like, last year.
Right.
I'll do it in my 30s.
There's a full... Good. Like...
Oh, yes. Is it me? Is it me you're looking for? They did this in Glee, Paul. Oh, see it in your eyes. Not your eyes.
Is that the reason why you know this song is because of Glee?
No, certainly not.
Wow.
Certainly not. I will say this, though. Literally, I have the album hanging up on my wall right now.
It's like one of those memed, like, you know, it's the people put pictures of Lionel Richie. Is it me you're looking for?
Exactly. But that was after all. Memes were kind of after Glee.
Sure.
And so between that and then when Hello by Adele came out, I was just like, they're almost the same thing, at least the same. Hello. Almost the same. But I have the album up on my wall. One of the vinyls I took from my grandma's house.
How about Mr. Telephone Man?
I am not familiar.
Man.
Telephone by Lady Gaga, though, shreds. And Beyonce is on that track. Do you remember when that crossover happened?
Yeah.
And that music video, controversial. That's like meat dress era.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're in the weird, like, is it a prison? It was a prison.
All right, so we're going to take a break.
Why?
And when we come back,
we're having fun.
We'll actually talk hockey.
Okay.
That's next. Only me one thing. Ever since I left the city, you
got a reputation for yourself now. Everybody knows it. You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Paul and Lindsay on this Friday afternoon.
I was going to say, how can we forget Drake?
That's right. Yeah.
Except he's kind of forgetful.
You used to come me on a stand.
Not a. That's not my jam.
No.
No.
It's not.
But I appreciate the effort, Marcus.
Straight
still
up,
love you.
Straight up tried.
Yes.
It's all right.
Can't hit a home run every time, Paul.
That's true. Sometimes ground rule doubles work. There is a man by the name of Malcolm Subban.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, you might remember him.
Mm.
26 years old. Played 3 seasons here. And then got traded for Robin Leonard. Robin Leonard's going to stay here, obviously. And Malcolm's going to stay with the Chicago Blackhawks, who he has played exactly all of 1 minute for.
Yeah.
1 minute. And now he's got a 2-year deal to try and succeed in Chicago. The question is, will he? Go, Lindsay.
Well, this is as good of a chance as he is going to ever get because he's right at that perfect age when you're supposed to be taking a step as a goaltender. And we all know that they let Corey Crawford walk in the offseason. He signed with the New Jersey Devils. Corey Crawford won them 2 cups, has been their starter, and clearly took all of the air out of the room as he was returning from injury in the playoff restart. But with his departure, that means Malcolm, that's open season on that position group. Now, they have a couple of guys that have been in the pipeline for a while because there's always going to be competition. It's not like they said, Malcolm, this is your job. Because you know what? He hasn't earned it. So this is his chance to earn it and to show that he is ready to take that next step and that he has put in the work, which I fully believe he has done because he's been in the league for years. He sat behind Marc-Andre Fleury and helped him out for 3 years. You've learned from the best. But now it's just time to see if it's you. Like, if you have that capability. And if anything, given the circumstances with goaltending and how it's changed into a tandem style, this is a more favorable opportunity for him than it would be 5-6 years ago. Because he's not a bona fide starter in this league right now, if that's still the way that the league is going. But because it is a rebuilding team, because he's cheap, he has a 2-way contract, and his age and everything else, he's shown the ability that he can win at this league. It's just, can you win at a consistent level? And sometimes with backup goalies, it's just getting consistent playing time. You don't get time. It's really hard to stay on your game and have that edge when you're playing once every 2-3 weeks and just working with practice guys.
Blackhawks may have done him a favor by telling the fan base that we're rebuilding.
Yes.
And but they also may have done him a disservice by telling his teammates that they're rebuilding. When you've got all that veteran talent that's there, and they're going, okay,
talent is three guys.
Right, but what are we doing with those three? Well, a lot of teams would take any of those three guys.
Sure. Well, one of them's probably going to have to leave after this season or in the next couple, but yeah. But the thing is how you get better as a goaltender is that you see a lot of shots. They're going they went all the way back down to the studs. And you're right, they have studs on that roster. Jonathan Toews is still there. Duncan Keith is still there. Patrick Kane is there. When Brent Seabrook is healthy, he is kind of serviceable and almost worth his contract, but not really. That's still not enough. And they're going to be bringing up a lot of the young guys that they've been drafting over the last few years. They're going to be making defensive mistakes that your experience, you're a middle veteran now, Malcolm. So you need to cover up for some of these defensive mistakes. We're not covering up for you. You're covering up for us. You're moving up the ladder. Let's see if you can stand on your own 2 feet. Or skates, I should say.
Sure. For a team that made a surprising run in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
for them to make some of the moves that they made in the offseason, definitely surprised everybody.
Oh, but especially that fan base.
Right, but it provided an opportunity. And I think, you know, for Golden Knights fans, you know, hopefully he doesn't have this monster chip when he comes back here and just goes lights out against us. But I think
I think
for a number of fans, too, they'd be like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Karma's a bee.
Yep. And that's the thing. The goalie journey is not like a clean entry into the league like Carter Hart is doing right now, or like what Marc-Andre Fleury or Carey Price had, because those guys are the top of the top of the top. Anomalies.
Right. Specials.
Yep. You got to take a different journey.
All right.
Hour
number one
at a time.
In the books on a Friday the 13th. Coming up next, a little football at 4, and we're going to talk some golf and game shows. Yes. Stick around for that. We're going to entertain you. At least that's what we hope to do.
Inside information on your teams, honest opinion, and the biggest names in sports. It's time, Las Vegas, for the Playmakers.
With my apple bottom jeans on, and she's got the boots with the fur. Paul Ihander here, Lindsey Brown over there.
Got the whole room looking at her.
Yeah, we hit the flower.
What?
Next thing we know.
A classic ballad you just referenced just there, then.
Should have got low, mm-hmm. low, 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 low.
Mr. Flo and yes. The Rida.
Yeah. Flo Rida.
And all the electoral votes.
Yeah, it's Friday the 13th.
Can you tell?
2020.
It's your day of birth, Paul.
It's 2020.
You're looking a little pep in your step today. I love it.
Hey, listen, it's all good. All good. Happy. Literally, I just spent the last 4 minutes of while we were away there, and we didn't really go anywhere. We were still here, but it just...
We were sitting in silence while you were responding.
This returned a handful of texts, people texting me, and, you know, listen, I appreciate it. I mean, it's heartfelt. Again, my sister calls me earlier today. And, you know, we're a close family, and, it, you know, we're talking, and I go, oh, you could have called me at 5 this morning. She lives in Pennsylvania, and she's a special ed teacher out there. And she's like, well, I could have called you at 5 this morning, but I'm just calling you in between all my calls, because she drives from home to home right now, because they're doing some distant learning out there as
sure.
well. And so she has to do home visits, and she wears the welder's mask and filters and things like that. And, you know, she's like, you know, I just wanted to tell you that I love you. And I appreciate that.
Doesn't have to be a whole diatribe. It's just letting you know that it's your day. I'm thinking about it because it's your day, and that it's a good reason to celebrate.
Sure.
You're here.
So happy to hear from everybody and get the text and the encouragement and, you know, for living yet another 365 days on this planet, which the last 200 have been kind of weird, let's be honest.
Yeah, between what transpired on my birthday and now where we are on your birthday,
right.
it's been a tough leg of
the race. I
remember
having ice cream cake.
To celebrate COVID.
To celebrate
oh, wait,
COVID.
My birthday.
Right.
All good things really start around St. Patrick's Day. You know, the Iraqi war. You got COVID now to throw in there. Like, it's just, you know, just sometimes you have dates that just things gravitate. Events gravitate towards them.
Anybody famous born on your birthday?
Oh, I'm sure. We could look some things up. I mean, I can't think of anybody at the top of my head,
per
se.
And unfortunately, they weren't really great famous birthdays when I first started looking at like who shared a birthday with me, it wasn't the most amazing kind of list of people.
No.
It was basically Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, that's high praise.
Yeah, but I was like, okay, there's got to be somebody like else?
Is okay, I got anybody, Bruce Willis.
Anybody else? I have Jimmy Kimmel.
We're fueling a dodgeball team just on our day of birth. That's Jimmy Kimmel. Those are the only people you can choose from if they're born on your day of birth.
And then as others got more famous, so like today, this is a weird kind of bit we're talking. We should be talking about football, but we're gonna do this. Also born today, Gerard Butler. When I was a kid, there weren't very many like, you know, actors and superstars and athletes and things like that. Again, I had to share with Whoopi Goldberg. That was it. Everybody else had like cool people. I had Whoopi Goldberg.
You know, my list was getting a little like scary to begin with, just based off of some names. But now Glenn Close has come in to help seal the deal. Sure. Also, look, listen to this, Paul.
Okay.
Didn't know this until literally 13 seconds ago.
Moments ago, okay.
Clayton Kershaw.
Wow, there you go.
I share a birthday. You know who else? Andy freaking Reid. We're going to be calling plays all day. We cannot be beaten at this point.
See, I don't have that, unfortunately. I've got Joe Mantegna.
Wish I knew who that was. Wish I did.
He was in Three Amigos.
Okay. Yeah, I know the movie.
He was in Airheads with Adam Sandler and Steve Buscemi.
I don't remember that film for some reason.
Guy. He's on like CSI, one of the CSI shows.
Huh.
Also, this is my athlete. So you've got Clayton Kershaw, right?
Pretty darn good.
I also have a former athlete who played in Los Angeles at one time.
You don't say. Who is it?
Meta World Peace.
Hell yeah. Malice in the Palace. No wonder. No wonder.
And then everybody else is like TikTok stars, really.
Yeah. Like Alexandra B, whoever else. Like I said, I had Bruce Willis, and then the second name on my list was Harvey Weinstein. So I was like, let's go a couple of scrolls over, shall we? Let's just keep going on our way. But yeah, I mean, it's your day, Paul. You're the most famous person on the list.
At least for right now.
In my heart.
I appreciate that.
My heart.
I truly do. All right, let's get you a little football at 4.
Oh, the footiest of footballs. That doesn't stop on Friday the 13th because you know what? The toes still are there. Back to you.
What?
Sometimes I just talk and see what happens.
That was a little wild, to be honest. It was a little out there. The Baltimore Ravens are playing this week against the New England Patriots, and I did not realize this, but it's a pretty amazing streak that's coming to an end. Calais Campbell, the Ravens, who was traded from the Jacksonville Jaguars, is not going to play against the Patriots. Plays defensive end. Ravens, you know, their defense is pretty stellar. He has played in 98 straight games.
Wow.
That is like
That's Iron Man level on that side of the ball.
Yeah, that is some serious time.
And he will be missed on that defense, right? Like his presence.
Oh, clearly.
I mean, my presence is your present for your day of birth, but like they kind of need him,
well,
right?
They do have Yannick Ngakoue.
That's true.
Vikings did not want.
Well, I'm sure they might regret that, but I don't think they will.
Yeah, Baltimore, New England. Kind of weird.
They don't really need them, do they?
A little strange on this one, to be honest. They're, you know, dealing with some kind of a... Baltimore befuddles me a little bit. We all know what Lamar Jackson can do, and we're all, you know, big on that defense, but what is... How do you define Baltimore right now?
Baltimore for me.
I mean, 6-2. But they're chasing Pittsburgh.
Yep. Who's undefeated, and it's overall their division is a lot stronger than it usually is. The Baltimore Ravens for me are the what's the cutoff for the spelling bee? Like 16 maybe for 16. We'll say it's 16.
I suppose
they're a 10-year-old that is at the spelling bee that made it all the way to the second to last round. Very pretentious, lots of potential, lots of talent. We're really excited to see what you're going to do next year and for the rest of your future. But then we started training too hard and we got too big of an inflated ego. But I'm just saying, I don't think they're as far along in their process as an elite team as we think they are. And it's because of Lamar Jackson's success last year. But you've seen the comparison between the numbers between him and like what Kyler Murray's putting up this year in Arizona. Kyler Murray has better stats, but you play the seasons that you play, and based off of what everybody else's yardstick is, that's just what it is. But based off what we've heard from Lamar this week, defenses are calling out the plays. Right. Yes, we all know this, Lamar.
We've seen the tape. I think that's the difference between the two quarterbacks you just mentioned, Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray. Lamar Jackson, it's not like they added any new wrinkles or new playmakers on that team in the offseason. Mm-hmm. We've seen the signature stuff. from Baltimore. But Kyler Murray, he got himself some DeAndre Hopkins and Chase Edmonds in the backfield because Kenyon Drake is hurt. Yep. And so he's got a different receiving core, a different running back. So the twists and turns in the Kingsbury offense as opposed to the Harbaugh offense because of the new personnel. Again, you stop Lamar Jackson, you've really...
Right.
Yeah, you've controlled that offense.
Exactly. And that's the thing. He has a ton of talent, but not enough talent for him to overcome the shortcomings that exist across the roster. That I'm not saying that they're bad, but they're just not good enough to compete at the highest level. Like you said, with Pittsburgh, with Kansas City. And that's where when you get a team that gets too far ahead of itself, that's where development can get it problematic. You don't want him to lose confidence, get overly frustrated. Just, Lamar, just trust the process. Like, it's not going to be as easy as it was every year. And it's, you know, this is only his third time around the sun as an NFL quarterback. So, I think that they're going to win because the Pats, I don't expect a lot from them, but you know,
most people aren't a believer in the Pats right now.
It's Bill. And so Bill can scheme that up. He can take advantage of some of the insecurities that Lamar is probably feeling right now. And so I wouldn't count the Pats out, and they're desperate.
Yeah, so that's the Sunday night game, by the way. That's Baltimore, New England. We get that. We got that gift. It's a chock full afternoon of football on Sunday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh taking on Cleveland. Cincinnati. So it's Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. Roethlisberger is expected to be back for that game.
Because he's on the COVID list right now,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
And how do you get off of that again?
Just clear tests.
Okay.
I mean, there's multiple protocols, but he just has to be cleared.
Yeah, we saw like earlier in the week saying they're preparing like he's going to play. I'm like, well, why would we put this out to the public? So they probably have both, or they were preparing the opposite. But regardless, I think this is a lot closer of a contest than people probably think. I'm yet to see what the Bengals are going to bring.
Yeah.
I would lean Steelers, obviously, especially since they're at Heinz. But Joey, he knows how to sling it.
Yeah, he does. Speaking of slingers, and we talked to Steve Berline last hour about quarterbacks and whatnot. We didn't get into Russell Westbrook at all. I mean, Russell Wilson. Wow.
You can find that on the radio.com app podcast of all of our episodes of the Playmakers are.
So many Russells. Russell Wilson of the Seahawks taking on Jared Goff and the Rams.
Yeah, this game is just ripe, isn't it?
In Los Angeles, not worried about weather. And it just feels like, and again, the over-under on this is plus 60, I believe. It might be 58.
Right.
This could be another one of those L.A.-Buffalo games. Buffalo, the Rams and Buffalo early this season put up, I believe it was like 72 or 73
Right. Well, in Seattle's game last week against Buffalo was a pretty high-scoring affair. But they were both on the road on the East Coast and both got beat on the road. Three time zones ahead of what they're going to be playing on Sunday.
L.A. has a point to prove here in this game.
Yes. And technically, they have a much better defense.
They do. Not technically. They do.
They have a better defense. And Seattle, what Seattle lacks on their defensive side, they make up for on their offensive side. And the Rams are the reciprocal of that.
I'm not sure Jalen Ramsey can cover DK Metcalf.
That's where literally where my question would seem was going to go.
I'm not sure that can happen.
Well, I think you have. That's you cancel each other out. Because that's where it's going to go. DK Metcalf's the biggest threat on the field. That's what you do with your top-level cornerback, right? Jalen Ramsey shuts down the entire half of the field. That's where I'm interested, because I'm like, who does Russell go to next? And I'm not saying that he doesn't have other options, but you don't have half of the field, right?
Yeah. Two high-octane offenses, but the Rams have that defense. I mean, they have a defense. And to contain, to make your... Wilson's going to have to make plays in this game.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to have to do some extraordinary stuff, I think, to outrun the Rams.
And I think we probably, just to borrow a little bit from our conversation that we were having about Lamar Jackson and superimpose it a little bit on the Seattle Seahawks, based off of what Russell Wilson has shown us this year, which is an MVP type of campaign so far, and they still have two losses, he needs to be that good for this team to be in that air. And so maybe we were just getting a little too ahead of ourselves on Seattle and their kind of overall might. Because I'm kind of leaning Rams a little bit.
I do lean Rams as well on this one. San Francisco and New Orleans going at it. New Orleans, this is the back and forth that every analyst is having in the NFL right now.
This is like the most confusing game of all time.
Are the Saints real? Are they not real?
Well,
last week they were real. Are the 49ers a shell of themselves now? Or are they just a system where you can just kind of plug and play a bunch of guys and try to outlast the other team? Again, Saints have pretty good defense, and Breeze is clicking.
Depends.
Right,
can
now
you get him in an emotional mindset? Because then the flags are going to fly, and you're going to be moving down the field without having to do much work.
But it is on home turf.
That doesn't mean as much as it used to, especially this year.
It doesn't, but San Francisco just doesn't quite have the horsepower, I think.
Again, we say that every time.
I know, but if this doesn't have the if this doesn't have shootout potential again, this is another of those games that has that shootout potential very clearly, where it could, they could, there could be a big number put up if neither team decides to show up. I just don't see the
State. Yeah, we can't side with Nick Mullins when you have Drew Brees on the other sideline. Yeah, you're right. We can't. We can't. I don't like it. It feels dirty.
You don't have to be comfortable with that one. But
feels dirty.
It feels like the home teams right now, with the exception of Baltimore right now, in the four games that we've talked about, you know, the home teams are leaning forward.
What? You have faith in the Giants at home versus the Eagles? I mean, I know the ineptitude, but it's the Giants.
There is that one where Philadelphia against the Giants.
Right?
Are we really talking about this game?
Well, I was just going off of every home game, or every home team seems to be favored, and so I just took a left turn. But if you want to take a UE, totally fine with that, too, because I'm not that interested in this game.
Just right now, that's where they land. I mean, even I like Carolina against Tampa right now. Carolina seems to be like a team that could make a really quick turnaround really fast.
Right?
And Tampa's coming off that just lazy loss.
Abysmal. But you got to think that Bruce and Tom probably rattled the cage down there really quick, make sure that everybody's getting back up to that level of edge where we got to come and compete from the first snap, from the first coin flip, everything. And I agree with you. I think the Panthers are especially because they're at home, I'm leaning. But if the Buccaneers come out and just score a touchdown on their first drive, it's kind of like, all right, we're going to see what's happening. We'll see if there's any disruption to the fact that they had Christian McCaffrey not for most of the season, then he comes back for a week, then gets re-injured again, different spot, shoulder instead of the ankle.
Yeah,
but that's kind of an in-out, you know, that can be enough to bully you off course enough, especially if you're the lesser talented team.
That's the one question mark, is they have to go back to Mike Davis in the backfield, and I just don't see that happening too much. But the point, it's only 5.5 right now. Like, I would take
they just need to get on the Buccaneers right away. They need to shock them into submission. That's exactly what happened. If they go at 3 and out a couple in their first couple of series and you go out and score 2 touchdowns, they're gonna have to keep throwing. And if Tom's not feeling it and you just send some pressure, speaking of people that can't move around in the pocket, Phillip Rivers, that's Tom's in the same class.
Yeah.
That's how you beat Tom Brady.
Yeah, put some pressure on him and just watch him fold like an accordion.
Exactly.
Someone put a $99,000 bet on the Green Bay Packers to cover against Jacksonville.
What's the spread right now?
It's -1100. That's the money line. The better bet the money line on -1100. There's such a little payoff here, but that's how confident.
That's how much you have to bet
That's how confident this bettor is the Packers will beat the Jaguars.
I mean, the Jaguars haven't won since week one. Gardner Minshew cannot save them. They are at Lambeau, but the Packers look, you know, invincible over these last few weeks, and they've had a bye. They lost to the Vikings. They went to the bye, and, you know, we'll have to see, but there's just so much talent, and the Jaguars don't really have anything to play for, and somehow, some way, the NFC North is a little bit more competitive than it was 3 weeks ago, so there's incentive for Green Bay to bring their best stuff.
Among the other two early games, Detroit and Washington, the football team there where Alex Smith will get the start.
Adrian Peterson, the reunion tour.
It's a reunion tour every year now for Adrian Peterson. He's been in the league so long.
Oh, I know. Just think of how many teams he's bopped around. Just like, what, 3 seasons?
Yes.
It's been a few.
It has. Cleveland hosting Houston tomorrow. Cleveland should be at full strength, I believe. I believe they're favorite.
Does that include like an efficient or productive Baker Mayfield or not? Because just because he's healthy doesn't mean that he's going to produce. But when he produces, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's true. But the egg that he laid against the Raiders was not good.
No. Did the Texans win last week?
Texans did not
win. They did not win. They did win. They won against... They won against Jacksonville.
That's right. It was Jacksonville. That's right. I lost money on that game because Jacksonville came back and scored a stupid touchdown late.
That's the thing. We don't have control over our subconscious.
I tried to erase that from my memory.
You put that somewhere where you didn't want to ever open up that closet.
I erased that from my memory.
Bad mams.
It was 7 points, too.
And,
stupid Jacksonville.
You know, Cleveland... They went on their bye after playing that Raiders game, right?
Yes, they did.
And that was definitely not good taste in the mouth after that, especially at home. And so we'll see. I'm kind of leaning Houston, though.
In Cleveland?
Yeah.
In Cleveland?
What's the weather? What's the weather supposed to be like, Paul? Ooh, look at this. Cleveland, Ohio, 60 degrees, possibly rain.
Yeah, Cleveland wins that one.
Never mind. Yep, I'll go Cleveland.
Cleveland wins that one. The other two, one you'll hear here on CBS Sports Radio 1140, the Chargers taking on Miami. It's Herbert v. Tua in Miami, and 1:05 start on Sunday.
Feast. This is like...
Sit back and just watch.
Yeah, this is like the special a la carte menu that's only on the menu for the day.
God, Miami beats them. I think Miami beats them.
I mean, they're they beat the Rams at that same stadium last week. It'd be three wins in a row since making the Tua decision, and
they're
he's gotten better and more confident every week. I mean, he didn't really have to do that much in week one, but that's what I mean. You have that build up, and, you know, they're both rookie quarterbacks. That's going to have, like, a little bit of a charge to it. So I lean Miami, too, because there's just a lot of momentum. And the Chargers, as much as I want to pick them, because I've been really impressed with Herbie, your guy, they can't close out games this year.
Anna, what does it take for the Chargers to close out the
games? Maybe a game over a team like this that's young, that still is impressionable, that has some momentum, but doesn't quite know what they're doing at the controls yet.
Because everything should lean to the Chargers. Like, they are nearly top 10 in every category right now.
Except for wins.
Correct. Yep. 2-6.
Yeah.
That's an odd
Maybe
one.
It's this week. Maybe this is the get over the hump week, but it's just a big enough challenge where it's going to be tough, but it's not insurmountable.
Right. And the team that gives everyone fits, the Denver Broncos, especially for Broncos fans, taking on the Raiders here over at Allegiant Stadium. Two teams fighting for identity. Two teams trying to stay relevant in the playoff race. Head coach John Gruden today had a very quick media update on a number of players. Damon Arnett practiced. He will probably go. Colton Miller did not practice, though.
Arnett's huge, though.
It is good, and it would be good to have
hand
him
surgery
back on the corner. Richie Incognito trying to work things out a little bit.
Let's not rush him back.
Yeah. It's in there, and again, with Corey Littleton going to the reserve COVID list, it's unclear what they're going to do at linebacker.
What else is new with this Raiders squad?
John Gruden calls it the Twilight Zone right now. He literally goes, this is kind of like the Twilight Zone. He says, we need to play better here at home.
They haven't won for a while. Have they won a game since they beat the Saints here?
The Raiders, looking at their official schedule here, which
I don't think they have.
I'm going to run through
because they lost versus
very
Buffalo. They lost versus
Allegiant,
Tampa.
They lose to Buffalo. They lose to Tampa. And yes, this will be their. They haven't won here.
Yeah.
Since the Saints game.
So they're due. It's interdivision, and as much as you say that they're both searching for their identity, I think the Raiders have a hell of a lot better idea what their identity is more than the Denver Broncos, because Von Miller's that's what that team's identity
sure,
is
so
not available.
But boy, Drew Locke, and I know you chide me a lot for liking Drew Locke, he's had two really kind of feeling himself games. He really has. And they didn't the win over the Chargers, that was a big win for them, clearly. And
well, and he's just starting to get his legs under him because he was in. Was he sick or was he injured?
No, he was hurt.
And so there's a certain proving period that you have to go through with yourself and kind of prove to your body and to make the same type of reactions and ask your body what you need to do and for it to come through for you. So I think I don't disagree with you in terms of his progression. He doesn't offer me anything that makes me want to really wait around for a while and see what he turns
into. He's doing it with so little, though. I mean, it's Jerry Jeudy. That's it. He's got Jake Butt, Noah Fant, and really, I mean, seriously,
He needs more guys with more than one syllable last
name. Name somebody. I mean, Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon.
I mean, that's a great last name.
Right, but those guys have not been the 1-2 punch that they thought they had. They've got Royce Freeman sitting on that bench, too, and they're just not getting anything out of it. But the offense has been on track. Again, but it's a team that, you know, suffered a lot of injuries early on. Clearly, their defense struggles. I mean, they can't hold anything below, you know, 29 right now.
They would have to play really well to beat them at home. They are going to have to play really well to beat them on the road, I think, Denver, because I just think the Raiders are rolling with a little bit more. And this is, speaking of taking a step, this is a game that you're supposed to take care of. It's not a 50-50 flip. It's more of probably like 70-30, but you got to do the 70-30s. Like, let's keep building with this. This is when you find out if this is a more of a 2-year project before we start thinking that we should be in the playoffs, or next year, or even this year. But if it has to be this year, you got to get a dub like this.
Right. It would be certainly helpful for them to do so. Ben Roethlisberger again going to come back. Cowboys added a few players to the COVID list, but they have a bye. So guess what? They can't lose this week.
Yeah, nobody has to watch them in
Cowboys
prime time for no reason.
Week. Andy Dalton could come back.
We'll see. We'll see if his teammates stick up for him or ask him to come back. You know, they just left him out to dry.
It's not going to matter. It really isn't going
to
matter.
But the Vikings and the Bears on Monday.
We can
save it to Monday. I'm sorry.
Monday.
You know, I know.
Sure. What do you think of the Vikings and Bears, Lindsay?
I think that it's going to be quite the challenge for the Vikings to win at Soldier Field because they usually don't. But they're rolling. But Matt Nagy just handed off the play calling duties on the offensive side of the ball. So maybe there's some magic in not knowing who's on the other side of the play card. Ask me on Monday, I guess, Paul.
I suppose there was that.
There's that.
He handed off the play calling. Like, that's the Bears' biggest problem was the Matt Nagy
play
calling.
Well, their offense is historically bad this year.
Yeah.
They're searching for an identity, and they're way over 500.
Oh, by the way, today is Friday the 13th.
And your birthday.
Do you know how it's Friday the, it's Friday the 13th?
When the first of a month starts on a Sunday?
When Nevada's governor tests positive for COVID.
No, really?
Yeah, today.
That's not good. So, I mean, there's lots of people testing for COVID right now, positively. So
right.
Stay away from each other. Put a mask on.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Unfortunate. Best wishes to the governor. Get better.
For sure.
Orange juice and Kleenex. Get the soft Kleenex, though.
Right.
The
there's
stuff
nothing
with, like, the little lotion.
Like the ones that make it really red and then it's itchy, but then it hurts and then it bleeds.
The problem is I'm still working my way through the first COVID stockpile of toilet paper where when you couldn't get any, you had to buy like the rough stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Less than
single ply.
I still have some of the rough stuff at the house.
And when you, you know, break open the packaging, this is the song that plays because you know. There's no lotion in those sheets.
I'm thankful that there's very little humidity in Southern Nevada because if there was, it would literally just disintegrate in my hands.
That's true.
Like immediately, I'm like, I can't use this.
That's true. Why are we, you know, discovering a cure for something or digging up a body somewhere? What's with this ominous music? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it feels kind of.
I feel super creeped out. Like, I feel like somebody's going to pop. I do not like.
In wrestling, that's the music they would use for a buried alive match.
I don't want. Oh my God, that's terrifying.
Or a coffin match.
No, why? You're gonna fight somebody in a coffin, or you're gonna fight
the coffin? No, you have to dump them into the coffin.
Have you ever fought your way out of a coffin before, Paul?
No.
Well, that's good.
No.
That's good. I'm glad. Haven't had that experience.
It's got that superstition kind of thing. Yeah, be thankful.
Yeah, honestly.
Be
no
thankful.
Thanks.
Only in the movies, please.
No, David Blaine here.
Coming up next. Should golf's majors be easy or should they be hard?
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Feels kind of 2 weeks late, right?
I know, that's what I was saying.
Doesn't
like, is it? Marcus, did you forget to set your clock back? Is it Halloween still?
Paul Iander here, Lindsey Brown over there on this Friday afternoon, Friday the 13th.
Is it 1981? Is this when
not that old. Thriller's mid-80s, like 86, 87. Can you do the dance?
No.
Do you know the dance?
No.
You should.
I'm good.
This is like the cha-cha slide.
Well,
right. This is like the electric slide, the cha-cha slide.
Electric slide and cha-cha slide.
The Cupid shuffle.
I know that one. You know the WAP. You know the WAP. You know the WAP dance. No,
I do.
Oh, you do.
But that's not what I'm going to do.
You can't recreate.
No, I'm not going to recreate the WAP.
That would be such a good birthday gift to like everybody else on your day of birth.
No, it would not be a good birthday gift. That would not.
I would pay. So much money for you to say. Oh my God, that would be super funny. I love it. No, Thriller was not on my list of dances to learn,
right?
Or the electric slide. 13 going on 30. Great film.
Right.
Didn't want to learn the dance.
Can you moonwalk?
Barely.
Can you do the worm?
Not really.
Okay.
Maybe in goalie pads, kind of. It's more just like a flop.
Yeah, it's just a flowing motion.
It's like, you know, the fish in SpongeBob that kind of talks between the cut scenes and it's just kind of on the ocean background. It looks like regular fish.
Yes.
It's like two-dimensional. I look like that when I'm trying to do the worm.
Okay.
I get it. Yep.
I absolutely get it. At the Masters right now, the leaders of the clubhouse, you know, they had to cut off play early today because, you know, it got dark and
daylight savings time. It's still
play,
a thing.
They don't play the night golf like some. Do you play? Have you ever played that?
No,
by the
I
way?
Want to
glow
so
golf?
Bad. I want to play glow golf so bad.
Like, I've done miniature golf, glow golf, but never like the dark golf. I mean, I've played at night at dusk like that before, but, and it sucks.
Yeah.
But the full kind of on play with the glow balls.
One would think we would have it here. I mean, I know at like Angel Park, they have lights. I think around their course, but there has to be a glow golf around here. We're on the West Coast. Like, this is where all the cool stuff is.
Right. And we have the weather for
it. We must Google it.
We have to figure that one out. But so while they're not playing glow golf in Augusta, there are quite a bit of low scores. And so far, where the cut line right now is at even par, where they're about 54 or so. And again, they didn't complete all the rounds today. So guys like Tiger Woods still on the course. Mm. He's in line to play another 27 holes tomorrow. Jack Nicklaus says Augusta lacks fire. He said it lacked fire after day one, where you had guys coming in and carding 7 under par.
Sure.
And because of the rain and whatnot, that basically it was just kind of a target. It was just target shooting, fish in a barrel, essentially.
50 players were under par yesterday. That's a lot of guys.
Right, for Augusta,
too. A lot of greatness going around.
For Augusta, where you would expect a minus one or plus. Because so television doesn't need the Masters to put up low scores. People are going to watch it because it's the Masters.
Correct.
You're going to watch the Masters for that.
Correct.
But because of the scoring right now, and it does help the Tigers in it, it's got a little of an extra draw.
Sure.
But it was going to draw regardless.
Yeah.
Should the big guns here, the U.S. Open, the Open, the Masters, and the PGA,
the powers that be,
should they be basically, should we be just like, you know what, let's see minus 30, or should we be like, you know what, we're going to make these courses as hard as possible with different cuts and harder pin placements and a slight, you know, redesigns or whatever it is, to where we should be like making sure that they are playing the absolute best golf possible, as opposed to what Jack Nicklaus is basically saying. These are beer rounds for some of these guys.
Well, Jack, I'm sorry you have a lot to complain about as of late, but like, I get it. But let's not overreact to having one year when there's so much weirdness going on. We've never played this tournament at this point of the solstice. Like, we are physically in a different part of the universe around the sun differently than we usually are when we play this tournament. So, of course, the weather is going to be different. The greens are going to be slower and guys are going to be able to take advantage of it. But this is a one-year thing. And it's not like it's favoring one side. I mean, if we want to talk about making this more competitive and making golf more golf, how about we start taking a look at the driver technology? How about we start looking at the technology for the ball flight and stuff like that? You're like, oh, the course is too easy. How about we stop being able to hit 400-yard drives? Like, just whatevs. Like, that, to me, is more of an abhorrence towards the spirit of the Masters in golf than, you know, these tournaments happen. Rory McIlroy was like how many under par on that U.S. Open? And that was when everybody else was like rated even. But somehow he was in the teens.
Right, but that's what made that one special, though. That just showed you he was playing elite golf at that elite point in his career. Like, that was, he was clearly the cream of the crop in that
right.
year.
So would you rather have 50 guys that are in the hunt for the title, or have one guy that's so far ahead of the rest that it's not competitive?
Well, Tiger had one of those Masters too, remember?
Yes, very familiar. But I'm just saying in the most recent example, because, well, isn't that technically less entertaining? Doesn't that bring fewer eyeballs to the game of golf, especially Masters weekend? Because we know that the people that watch the Masters today, like you and I, are not the same people that watch all weekend. Like, there's more people that show up to the party.
Sure.
And so that's where I'm just like, I get it. This isn't the perfect round. This isn't the perfect year. But there are plenty of ways where you get to the, it's not as good as it should be.
So you want, if I can understand this, you want, because I'm wishy-washy on this, but I do like competitive golf. I'm not looking for, you know, video game golf.
Right.
You know, high scoring football games, but they have to be anomalies. I'm worried that this is not going to be an anomaly. That while we are seeing, the weirdness, we are seeing these things, that you're right about the technology,
mm-hmm.
and that the hard courses aren't hard anymore, to where golf is going to have to address how to change the game to make it more competitive, as opposed to everybody going out there bombing
right.
and putting up minus 20s and minus 21s, because baseball had the same dilemma too, and they still are trying to figure it out, but they certainly tried to address it with the designated hitter
right.
to make more pop and provide more offense. But I love a good pitcher's duel just as much as I love a slugfest. But
sure.
But golf is different. I have four rounds to get to that point and
right.
to invest into it. A baseball game, I don't.
Yeah, well, and golf is pretty much the only sport that could rival baseball or at least dwarf them in terms of sports that don't want to move their feet or change anything ever, because last year or 2 years was the first time they changed any golf rules in like over 100 years.
They keep the pin in the...
Exactly. And there are multiple changes there. And that's what I'm saying, like... It's not just the Masters, it's the golfers, it's the technology, it's the level of athletes that are going towards golf. It's the fact that these guys that are now on the tour have been playing a professional kind of golf schedule since they were age 3. I mean, Tiger was on with Bob Hope And he's 40-something.
So is Nicholas just old man shouting at clouds?
Yes, that's what, yes, exactly. And that's okay. He's allowed to shout at clouds because it's his legacy and his legend that kind of, you know, grew and built the Masters to what we know it to be today. It's Masters still obviously goes on and is a huge deal without him. But it's just, there's so many ways that you can improve things. But I don't like yelling and shouting about how something's not good in the middle of the actual round. Like, Jack, you're one of the biggest ambassadors of the game, right? Why are you raining on the parade during the match, when everybody's been doing this all season? It's a pandemic. They shouldn't be out there if you want to really talk about it. Like, honestly, if that's the right thing to do. But we're going and they're showing up and people are playing well. So why are you going to just poop all over this? Because it's not, the course is too easy. Well, wow, you go play it then. Don't you? If you get a green jacket, you can play for the rest of your life, right? Go shoot, Jack. Let's see if you still got it.
He could. He might still have it.
He might still, but I doubt it.
Tiger Woods, the defending champion, even right now, he played 10 holes. He's at 4 under. It's interesting. A couple of good storylines coming out of the Masters, though. Bernard Langer, who is 63.
Who?
Bernard Langer.
Why would 63. I not know his name?
Oldest player in Masters history.
Wait, he's 63 years old or he shot 63?
He's 63 years old. He shot a 4 under.
Damn.
And then he's still at 3 under midway through the tournament.
So he's basically what Tom Watson was at the British Open for a few years, like last decade, where he was in it.
See, Bernard Langer at 63 is basically what Phil Mickelson's going to look like at 63. He's going to try to keep himself in physical, really top physical condition.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll roll out there and just start dominating.
Right, because you got the exemption.
Right.
Right. Has he won?
Yes.
I assume you don't show up at 63 without a jacket. So
yeah,
he don't let you in.
He was eighth in 2014.
Wow. Well, and that's the thing, too, is like once you've kind of progressed past that point in your career and you just start, like you say, one magical weekend, you just put all your training towards that. Otherwise, you're just golfing with the buds.
Right. It's true.
What a time.
Do love me some Masters.
It's
weird. Again, it's weird to be talking about it here in the middle of November, but here we are.
It's special.
On Friday the 13th.
And it's going to be a good field. Like, it seems like people are bringing their best golf, if not more, and the usual suspects that you would want to see by the leaderboard are showing up. So that's good. That's good for the game of golf, and it's good for us.
Right. And Lindsay will be awake at 4:30 in the morning. Just tweet her your questions.
Certainly not. Certainly not.
Just tweet her your questions.
No.
And she'll answer every one of them.
Ask nicely, maybe.
Right. There we'll you see. Go. Coming up next, of course, the world lost a giant when it comes to entertainment, as Alex Trebek passed away over the weekend. But it is time to think about who should replace him. And there are some people from the sports world we think might be worthy of taking a shot.
You found the Playmakers on CBS Sports Radio 1140.
Happy birthday to everybody celebrating birthdays today.
That's you.
You deserve it.
That is you.
And if you have one tomorrow, or on Sunday, or on Monday.
It's not as important.
I'm just kidding. Listen, Paul Iander here, Lindsey Brown there. Jeopardy is not the same without Alex Trebek. We're able to watch the last episodes that he taped before his death. And he will certainly be missed. Those episodes are going to run through Christmas. But at some point, Jeopardy will have to make some decisions about who will step into those very large shoes.
Right.
I believe there are a lot of people, because who better equipped to take on that hosting job than me? I'm kidding.
I mean, you wouldn't be bad.
But I would be okay at that.
You'd be pretty darn good, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, look, he's stewing over there. But yes, I would be good at that position.
I'll take S words for 200. Swords.
Yeah.
But there are probably a lot of guys that have and gals that have served in play-by-play and analyst roles throughout sports, or perhaps some athletes that could slide into the role of Trebek. Maybe it's not a long-term play, but maybe it's a short-term play until they can figure something out. Because, listen, it's not about the host, right? It's about the show. That's what Alex always said.
It's about the host. You got to find the right fit.
Right. And so there's actually betting lines on who would
be
the next kind of host for Jeopardy.
Okay.
Right atop that list is kind of the king of Jeopardy, Ken Jennings.
Right.
The guy who
that
won
hacked
it
the
all.
System.
Yes. Well, he didn't hack the system.
Well, he was just better than the system.
It's something along those lines.
Okay.
Yeah.
No system.
To replace Trebek. there's he's kind of like the odds-on favorite. We also have James Holzhauer here from Las Vegas, who is also one of the members of the Tournament of Champions, but he's a longer shot at 25,000-1.
Right.
Jennings is up there. George Stephanopoulos.
Eh.
Would that be okay?
How about we get like somebody other than like old LeVar guy in there? I know that name, but I also don't know who that is.
Geordi LaForge from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Okay, no.
He wore the visor. He was a Reading Rainbow guy.
I remember Reading Rainbow.
He was a jerk to me at the 2008 Democratic National Convention.
Well, then he can pound sand then.
Butterfly in the sky.
Butterfly.
I can go. Yes, Reading Rainbow.
Oh, no. Is that what this is?
This is the theme of Reading Rainbow.
Oh,
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Pat Sajak. Those are the top five, at least in terms of bets. Now, there's a bunch of other names. Jamie Kimmel, Ryan Seacrest, Jane Lynch.
Lynch would be great. She is good at hosting everything.
But she's already got a show.
So does Pat Sajak.
Yeah, he does. But
he has one of the biggest ones ever.
But he's in the same family. Like, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, they're in the same family. Merv Griffin Productions are in the same family. Like, he could transition to that one, and they could make Vanna White the full-time host of Wheel of Fortune.
So it's just easier because of nepotism? Okay.
Well, they could give Vanna White hosting duties on Wheel of Fortune.
They could. They could give Vanna White, hosting duties on Jeopardy and build and blaze her own trail.
Either way,
mm-hmm.
They could still be the host there.
That's true.
Trevor Noah.
Yeah. I'm like, that's the thing, though, is like, do you want somebody, do you think it's a better play to go with someone well-known or someone that they don't know? Because there's something to be said about, like, organically growing with an audience, too. And, like, if you put somebody in there that you would expect to be good and then they're not, like, we saw what happened with The Tonight Show, right? You don't want to make that mistake.
Right, but that was...
And I'm not saying it was a mistake. I'm not saying that Conan wasn't the right choice, but it didn't turn out to be what the powers that be planned to be. You know what I think would be perfect for this? And again, pretty sure it's in network. Kenan Thompson.
Yeah, he'd be good.
I mean, he's like the longest running guy in SNL since Daryl Hammond and hosts Celebrity Jeopardy a lot of times during SNL. I think he'd be perfect.
Yeah, he'd work with
You have to be the smartest guy in the room, plus which you will with the answers in your hand.
Plus,
but,
you have to blend into the background too a little
bit. Right, but you have to be able to barb people. And that's the thing about Trebek is like he did it without being like, haha, you're what a dumb answer. Like, nope. What about, like...
Be the smarmiest guy in the
room. What about, like, Wanda Sykes? I would absolutely... Even if I gave the worst answer, if I'm going to get berated by someone, it might as well be Wanda Sykes. She's brilliant. She's quick. She'll go right for the spot that you don't want her to push. Or, like, what about Doris Burke? I mean, she's sports heavy, obviously.
She's not on this list in terms of sports. The sporty people that are on the odds list, at least in terms... Aaron Andrews and Al Michaels. Those are the only two sports people. And Joe Rogan's on this list.
Al needs another position at this point in time. We don't have anybody else that could do it. Rogan, again, that's not going to work.
I was thinking sliding in for a little bit. Doc Emrick.
Nah.
For like a year.
It's not. I don't want it. It seems.
That's a daily job ball.
Seems forever unclean. I don't like. What about like Ryan Reynolds? You want to talk about another person who would make funniest traits?
It would draw, but the problem is he would overshadow the game. Like
I'm okay with that.
Reynolds would overshadow the game. It'd be great during celebrity. Right. Then just make it Jimmy Garoppolo and just wipe our hands.
No, Jimmy's got better things to do.
So does Ryan Reynolds.
That's true.
He's got to make like Deadpool 8, right?
Yeah. They print money over there. I think, you have to be sarcastic. You have to. Put Will Ferrell in there.
Will Ferrell.
He was perfect. You don't have him obviously do the impression, or maybe you do. I don't know. Make it a bit.
I think you killed.
James Spader was replaced for a while in The Office. He was there for like 3 weeks. What's he doing?
That was a terrible run for The Office when James Spader was on The Office. It was not good.
But it was just like, it was the writing. The character was actually okay.
The character was fine. The show fell flat because the chemistry was disrupted and it was good for disruption, but the shows weren't super memorable when he was in the chair.
It's tough to be the guy that follows up Steve Carell, isn't it?
Right. Well, he's the one that, chased...
Will Ferrell. Was it Will Ferrell that was the intermediary, or was it James Spader when they switched over?
Spader.
It was? We'll have to double check this. All the people.
Everybody's playing off Ricky Gervais.
That's true.
Ricky Gervais
he might
was,
be
the
a good
original,
host.
Was the original.
He might be a good host.
Gervais would be pretty solid.
His TV show on Netflix, I think, is called Afterlife. I mean, you're going to have to go through some heavy themes, like from the get-go and forever and always, but it's a great, great show. I love it. He's a little too serious.
These are all pretty standard names.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing's surprising me here.
That's what I mean. Steve I want to go with someone younger.
Chris Harrison.
I want somebody like, you know, in their 30s. Have Pete Davidson host it.
Wow.
That would be brilliant, actually. Brilliant television. Yeah, they should just have SNL bit characters host it, honestly. That would be even better.
But if you're going to do it, Kristen Wiig's not doing anything right.
Exactly.
Now.
She would be brilliant. She's quick. Tina Fey.
Tina Fey would be good.
She's running Empires. So.
She would be good at
Tina
that.
Tina Fey would be very good.
I would vote for that one.
Yeah,
I would like
Amy
that
Poehler.
One.
I mean, it might be a little bit too nice, Jeopardy.
She's overexposed, though.
Yeah, she is.
I think.
Well, she's in a credit card commercial right now. And that's the definition of an exposure. Her and Jennifer Garner. Even though Garner's not doing anything.
Right. Jennifer Garner. Man, she's been living off Capital One forever.
Right. Like, well, she does stuff on Instagram and stuff, too. Well, that drives money, man.
You know, I don't follow her.
You have five-year-olds open up presents that make millions of dollars a year. What is life?
Oh, my goodness.
It's crazy.
Yeah, there you go. That, you know, if you want the youth vote, go get that Ryan kid.
Right. Ryan Seacrest, right?
No.
Let's give him something else,
He's
too.
On this list, though.
That's what I mean.
Like, he doesn't need any
more
stuff.
Why do we need to give the same type, like, let's just, like, diversify this a little bit more and give people shots.
The weird name on this one, it's not Oprah Winfrey. I actually don't find that weird. The weird name on this one? Wolf Blitzer as host of Jeopardy. Wrap your head around that.
I don't
one.
Hate it.
He's like the one name on this list that I'm just kind of like, really?
You know what? I'll take the guy who impersonated him. I'll take Jason Sudeikis.
Sudeikis would
be perfect.
He'd be really good at it.
And he has like that classic kind of like game show where like, come on now. He could absolutely ham it up. He would be perfect. And he lives in New York.
Right. And he would blend into the background a lot easier than some of these others.
He wants to take a day off. Olivia Wilde can fill in. His wife.
Wouldn't be terrible either.
Mm-mm. No.
I forgot he was married to Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
Well done, Jason Sudeikis.
Honestly. Well, I mean, Colin Jost just married Scarlett Johansson like literally 10 days ago.
Yeah, I don't
apparently,
know.
There's something in the water.
At SNL.
Huh?
Yeah.
Crazy.
All right. Wrapping things up here. It's been a wild week. Friday the 13th. Thanks for hanging out.
Happy birthday, Paul.
Thank you, Lindsay. Zach Gelb up next. JR Sport Brief tonight. College football tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Texas Tech Baylor. Chargers Miami on Sunday at 1. For Mark Bonilla, Lindsay Brown, that's her. I'm Paul Iyhander. I'll wrap on the Playmakers for the week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.